Hello, this is Scout Madison reading to you today from the News Gazette. The paper come out Monday, November 11th, 2024. I will start today's reading by the front page article called Intruder Killed and Resident Shot. Champagne home invasion. One man is dead and a resident of the home is hospitalized after an early morning shooting Sunday in the 1200 block of Harrington Drive in Champaign. According to police, the resident engaged in a physical altercation with an intruder and fired multiple shots. When police arrived around 4:09 a.m., they found the resident with a non-life-threatening gunshot wound to an arm. He was taken to an area hospital and is in stable condition. The intruder, identified as Emmanuel Becerra Perez, 21, of Urbana, died at the scene. Champaign County Coroner Stephen Thuney said Mr. Becerra Perez was pronounced dead at 5:43 a.m. An autopsy is scheduled for today. The death is being investigated by Champaign Police Department and the Champaign County Coroner's Office. On Sunday morning, a steady stream of passersby and dog walkers took in a taped-off scene that included several police vehicles, an unusual sight in an otherwise quiet neighborhood bordered by Morrissey Park to the south. Police investigate Sunday's home invasion that left an intruder dead at a house on Harrington Drive in Champaign. On a lighter note, this article is Kids Doing Good Things, Standing Tall. In football, five area teams are prepping for the quarterfinals: BHRA, CGMS, Leroy, Monticello, and Unity. In cross country, Unity girls team just missed a fourth straight team title, and they run so much heart. In swimming, areas teams flexed at the sectional meet. Champaign Central won, followed by MS and Centennial. Tuscola's Kate Foltz celebrates her Class 1A cross-country state championship on Saturday in Peoria. Not only was it the best race of the junior's life, finishing with a time of 15 minutes, 59.4 seconds, but it was the fastest anyone had ever run in 1A state finals history. I went out pretty fast, and I felt good, so I kept going. Next, in name-dropping, she said yes. Rodeo holds special place in couple's heart. Ryan Steindorfer and Holly Ann Logue of Ogden have always enjoyed the rodeo at Gordyville, USA, near Gifford. They didn't realize how much a part it would play in their engagement to be married. It was 2 years ago at the rodeo when Steindorfer told Logue that he loved her. Last Friday night, they were at the rodeo, and Steindorfer stood out with his dance moves when some Shania Twain music was played during a break. He had been wanting to ask Logue to marry him for some time and wanted to wait for the right moment. In a perfect storm of circumstances, it turned out that the day after that rodeo visit was the perfect time. "I'm a union operator," Steindorfer said. "I got laid off the other day," and he had some time on his hands while Logue, a registered nurse, was at work. "And I said to myself, I'm going to go look for a ring." Steindorfer spent the next 4 hours in Champaign searching for the right one, but said he couldn't find one he liked. So he decided to call Logue's best friend, Savannah Starkey, for some advice. It just so happened that Starkey was in Champaign having lunch with her father and met Steindorfer at Marketplace Mall to help with the search. She got there, and the sales lady at Helzberg's Diamonds said she had forgotten to show Steindorfer a particular ring when he had been there before. Steindorfer and Starkey looked at each other, and I said, "Holy cow, that's the one!" Ryan Steindorfer, on bended knee, proposes to Holly Ann Logue during a rodeo at Gordyville, USA, in Gifford. Meanwhile, Logue got off work early. Starkey was like, "You know, what would be really cute is if you proposed to her tonight, Steindorfer said, but he didn't like the idea. It would be too public. Back at home, he changed his mind after reading a scripture in which God seemed to be speaking directly to him. Joshua, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Steindorfer called Gordyville General Manager Lisa Bengagram and asked her if a public proposal at that night's rodeo would work. He called and said he had just talked to her father to get permission to ask for his daughter's hand in marriage, and they had loved the rodeo. He thought it would be pretty symbolic to ask her to marry him there, Bengagram said, and she loved the idea and set it up. Steindorfer said he knew for a long time that Logue was the woman for him before he even met her. I saw a picture of her and said, Dad, I'm going to marry this woman one day. If Steindorfer weren't so determined, it might never have happened. I busted butt for 3 months just to get a date with her before she relented. Bengagram's friend, Jesse Starkey, gave the pair 2 tickets Bengagram had given her to get to the rodeo. Heading to Gordyville, Steindorfer was nervous. Not so much that Logue would say no. More so, he didn't know how he was going to hide the ring. He found the perfect place. He shoved it down his boot. Going into the middle of a rodeo arena was a little nerve-wracking as well. He's a pretty outgoing guy, but he was nervous. She set it up with the rodeo clown, who noticed Steindorfer dancing to a Shania tune the night before, to call the couple out into the arena during a break. And the rodeo clown announced, "We have a special fan of the rodeo we'd like to call out. Where's my Shania Twain fan?" He invited Steindorfer and Logan to the arena to play the wedding shoe game often played at parties. It involves asking couples how well they know one another. He told Logue to face him while Steindorfer stood behind her, and he asked, "How long have they been together?" "A little more than 2 years." "Is he a nice guy?" "Most of the time," she said, laughing. "Not to get too personal in front of everybody. Is he marriage material?" She immediately started nodding her head. The clown then said he thought Logue should turn around and looked at Steindorfer. He found him down on bended knee holding a ring. He asked her to marry him. The answer was an emphatic yes. The audience applauded. The couple said they will save up for the wedding, which will happen next year or early 2026. Anderson honored by Exchange Club. Cooper Anderson of Rantoul has been named Rantoul Exchange Club Student of the Month. Anderson, a son of Megan and Zach Anderson, ranked 7th in his senior class at Rantoul Township High School with a grade point average of 5.575. He made the honor roll and was a scholar athlete for 3 years. School activities have included cross country, indoor and outdoor track and field, and student council for 4 years. National Honor Society, FFA, Band and Jazz Band his senior year, and a News Gazette RTHS reporter. As a senior, he serves as president of the National Honor Society. Anderson has won several honors or awards, including Most Improved Cross Country Academic Letter in 9th, 10th, and 11th grades, Excellence in Honors, Algebra 2, Excellence in Zoology, and Excellence in Social Studies. His community and volunteer involvement, St. Malachi Church Youth Group for 3 years, St. Malachi Church Server at Mass for 9 years, and National Honor Society Food Drive and Other Community Service for 2 years. A retired judge is honored. Retired Champaign County Circuit Judge Jeffrey Ford was recently presented with the Illinois Association of Problem-Solving Courts Leadership and Therapeutic Justice Award. The presentation was made at the association's annual conference. Ford was unable to attend, but a Zoom presentation was made at the conference in which he was presented the award. Ford was appointed associate judge in 1985, appointed as a full circuit court judge in 2005, and elected to the position the following year. He retired in 2020. He began what is now nationally called DUI court in 1991, and in 1999 started Champaign County's drug court, over which he presided until his retirement. Ford was a member of the special Supreme Court Advisory Committee for Justice and Mental Health Planning from 2010 to 2023. He consulted and did technical assistance training from 2012 to 2016 for American University. From 1987 to 2023, he has also been a member of numerous other committees for the Illinois Department of Transportation, Illinois Secretary of State, and the University of Illinois Springfield for traffic safety matters, DUI, and graduated driver's licensing. He was an adjunct instructor with the University of Illinois Police Training Institute from 1980 to 2016. He was a board member and past president of the Illinois Association of Drug Court Professionals and a past president and current board member of the Illinois Association of Problem Solving. Stewart speaks to Champaign Rotary. Stephanie Stewart, Vice President for Strategic Partnerships and Workforce Innovation at Parkland College, who serves as the institution's Chief Communications Officer, spoke to the Rotary Club of Champaign at last Monday's regular meeting. She spoke about the many partnerships Parkland has and is continuing to pursue. Dumpster waste fires more common in Champaign this year. A multiple alarm fire, a fire severe enough to necessitate additional resources, is rare for the Champaign Fire Department to encounter. But last spring, the department responded to two multiple alarm blazes in a single night. Champaign Deputy Fire Marshal Jeremy Mitchell said this proved to be a daunting challenge for the predominantly young fire department employees, the majority of whom have less than 5 years of experience. Earlier in the evening, residents had reported flickering lights, hearing popping noises, things like that, Mitchell said. The insurance investigation and so forth is still ongoing. The most prominent fire types in Champaign this year include dumpster and outside waste fires, kitchen fires, and vehicle fires. Dumpster and outside waste fires made up 56 or 29% of the 191 events so far this year, making it the most common type. Mitchell said he found that statistics surprising. I would not have expected them to be as much of a fire problem as they are, but they are, Mitchell said. It'll actually take the involvement of a couple of different city departments to collaborate and come up with something lasting to fight that. Of the 191 total fire events the department responded to this year, 15 were true structure fires, about 8%. This number is an improvement compared to previous years, Mitchell said. Our historical average for this point in a given year is approximately 37 structure fires, so these fires are significantly down, which is a good thing, he said. Mitchell wears many hats for fire department. He is responsible for fire code enforcement, the community risk reduction program, and data analysis. After the pandemic, we lost a lot of our community footprint, being able to engage our different vulnerable population groups in fire safety, Mitchell said. That culminated in 2022 when we had 66 structure fires, which is the most since the Champaign Fire Department began keeping records. Mitchell said he speaks to emphasize fire prevention through education, with his primary audience being young children. Something else that was happening in that time that we're still having trouble getting a handle on is that we aren't able to get back into the public schools yet and speak with children the way we're hoping to, Mitchell said. Of the 191 total fire events the department has responded to this year, 36 or 19% were kitchen fires, which represent the most common fire incident inside a structure, Mitchell said. The majority of kitchen fires this year took place in Champaign's campus town. This coincides with the Red Cross website for fire risk assessment, which breaks down the fire risk by census tract, according to which Champaign County has an overall score of 49 out of 100. Certain tracts have higher risk scores, often in the 75 to 90 range. The area with the greatest risk for fires in the county is Campustown, several parts of which scored 93 for fire risk. The frequency of kitchen fires in Campustown is due in large part to it being the most densely populated area of Champaign, characterized by its many tall buildings, Mitchell said. I will tell you, way back in 1998, when I was a freshman, there were about 12 high-rise buildings in the city of Champaign. Now we have about 36, with more being planned. In Champaign, a high-rise building has occupied floors more than 75 feet above the lowest level of the fire department vehicle access per the city's code of ordinances. It is Campus Town's predominantly student population, however, that serves as the primary explanation for the College Town's cluster of kitchen fires, Mitchell said. You're studying, maybe you work, you're involved in an RSO, or maybe more than one, and you have roommates, and sometimes you just forget or you lose track, Mitchell said. So it's the inattention, making sure that you know you have a background, just cooking simple things. Mitchell said he wants to create more engagement in the campus community through fire safety education, particularly aimed toward kitchen safety. My ideal scenario would be the instructional kitchen at ARC, Activities and Recreation Center, Mitchell said. Maybe not make it fire department exclusive, but if we can tag on to you as you're going through a cooking lesson. Fighters at the scene of one of the multiple alarm fires in the Champaign Fire Department fought in the same night last spring. Champaign County Crime Stoppers. Police are seeking the ID of the suspect in burglary credit card fraud. This by the News Gazette. Champaign County Crime Stoppers is asking for the public's help in identifying a suspect who spent almost $1,000 with stolen debit and credit cards. On October 20th, between 2 and 6 p.m., an unknown individual stole a wallet from an unlocked vehicle parked in a driveway. The suspect used cards from the wallet to make purchases in person and online at Dick's House of Sport, JD Sports, and Nike. Police are seeking the identity of a suspect captured on video. The individual appears to be a black male, approximately 18 to 24 years old, with his hair styled in twists. He was wearing a black Nike sweatshirt with an orange and blue Nike logo and light gray distressed jeans. If you have any information regarding this or any crime in Champaign County, please contact Crime Stoppers at 217-373-TIPS or 373tips.com or via the P3 Tips mobile app. Tipsters are always 100% anonymous when contacting Crime Stoppers and receive a code number to check on rewards. All tips submitted to Crime Stoppers are electronically stripped of any personally identifying information and processed by a third-party answering service. Crime Stoppers will pay cash rewards of $5,000 for tips that lead to an arrest in any Champaign County homicide, $25,000 for tips leading to an arrest in any felony involving a gun in Champaign County, and up to $1,000 for tips leading to arrests and other crimes. Champaign County Crime Stoppers is asking for the public's help in identifying a suspect who spent almost $1,000 with stolen debit and credit cards provided. In Urbana City Council news, new event space is seeking a liquor license. A new event space is on its way to Urbana. Fuentes 10 LLC, doing business as El Patron Ballroom, is seeking a liquor license for 1006 North Cunningham Avenue. It's an event space for weddings, sweet 16s, any kind of private parties, anything, said Martin Fuentes, who owns the property with his wife Alma. The Urban City Council will discuss the matter at Tuesday's 7 p.m. Committee of the Whole session. If the council is supportive, the license request will be voted at an upcoming regular meeting. Fuentes' work in the local hospitality industry includes being the former owner of El Toro, Toro Loco, and Uncle Martin's Sports Bar. He isn't ready to estimate when El Patron Ballroom will be ready to open. However, he said he has already passed his inspections and the liquor license is the last on his to-do list. He added that anyone interested in booking an event can reach him at 217-202-7329 or mfuentest@att.net. The business is seeking a Class A liquor license. According to a report from Catherine Livy, Executive Coordinator Deputy Local Liquor Commissioner, this would permit El Patron to sell and serve liquor by the drink or in packages for on-premises consumption only. Additionally, the licenses may choose to allow individuals age 19 18, 19, and 20 in the public areas of the premises with prior written notice to the local liquor commission levy. Champagne's seven-year-old story is published in a magazine. A story published by seven-year-old David Wang of Champagne has been selected for publication in Spider magazine. Readers were asked in July to submit an original story about a wild ride. Wang's story appears in the Spider's Corner section of the November-December issue. This is a magazine for children ages 6 to 9. Spider features stories, poems, articles, and activities by talented children's authors and artists from around the world. In each issue, readers are invited to submit their original artwork or write on a specific theme to the magazine, with hundreds of entries submitted each time. The editors select their favorite to be published. Here's Wang's story, called A Wild Ride. One day, I went on a plane to the Caribbean Sea to go scuba diving. Suddenly, our plane engine got eaten by a giant bird, and we made an emergency landing in the Amazon River. And when the plane was sinking, I saw piranhas with super sharp teeth, glass frogs with transparent skin, and kangaroo fishes with an undershot jaw and 2 6-inch fangs. Then a piranha appeared out of nowhere and ate part of the plane, so the plane crumbled. I quickly put on my scuba diving gear and swam out of the plane. I accidentally bumped into a crocodile. The angry crocodile threw me on his back and plunged really fast. To escape, when I saw a fishing hook, I grabbed it and got pulled up. What a In Top of the Morning, writer Joey Wright tells us about a strong family dynamic which has been a key to the success of Po' Boys in Urbana for a decade and a half. The story behind the restaurant's barbecue and pizza success began 15 years ago with the efforts of Gene Rasner Stimmel, Jim Rasner, Andy Rasner, Lindsay Rasner, and Josh Rasner Stimmel. It's taken me a few years to realize how special it is to work with family for so long. There's four of us, so if two of us go out of town, if one of us is sick, it's really nice to have four capable, loving owners that we work well together. I think that's probably one of the top reasons we've done so well over the years. Another component of Po' Boys' success has been its array of smoked meats and thin-crust pizzas. The restaurant, which has a full bar, has 6 different types of house-made barbecue sauces, makes it pizza dough from scratch, and takes pride in its homemade pies. I think we're a good staple for families or date nights, Gene Rasner Stimmel said. We're just a good dining experience. We do have a full bar. We have a bunch of tables in-house. We try to offer as much and as best we can for the whole community. It also takes pride in its location in Urbana on University Avenue, near the convergence of Vine Street and Cunningham Avenue. We have a great community, Gene Rasner Stimmel said, and I love Urbana. In national news, racist text messages raise alarms in multiple states. This is out of Washington. Racist text messages invoking slavery raised alarm across the country this week after they were sent to black men, women, and students, including middle schoolers, promoting inquiries by the FBI and other agencies. The messages sent anonymously were reported in several states, including New York, Alabama, California, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Tennessee. They generally used a similar tone, but varied in wording. Some instructed the recipient to show up at an address at a particular time with your belongings, while others didn't include a location. Some of them mentioned the incoming presidential administration. It wasn't yet clear who was behind the messages, and there was no comprehensive list of where they were sent, but high school and college students were among the recipients. The FBI said it was in touch with the Justice Department on the messages, and the Federal Communications Commission said it was investigating the texts alongside federal and state law enforcement. The Ohio Attorney General's office also said it was looking into the matter. Tasha Dunham of Lodi, California, said her 16-year-old daughter showed her one of the messages Wednesday evening before her basketball practice. The text not only used her daughter's name, but it directed her to report to a plantation in North Carolina where Dunham said they'd never lived. And when they looked up the address, it was the location of a museum. "It was very disturbing," Dunham said. "Everybody's just trying to figure out what does this all mean for me." So I definitely had a lot of fear and concern. Her daughter initially thought it was a prank, but emotions are high following Tuesday's presidential election. Dunham said her family thought it could be more nefarious and reported it to local law enforcement. "I wasn't in slavery. My mother wasn't in slavery, but we're a couple of generations away. So when you think about how brutal and awful slavery was for our people, it's awful and concerning," Dunham said. Talking about the Northeast wildfires, New York Parks employee dies, air quality warnings issued in New York, New Jersey. Pompton Lakes, New Jersey, a New York Parks employee died battling one of a number of wildfires in New Jersey and New York amid dry conditions that have prompted air quality warnings in both states, authorities said Sunday. The worker died when a tree fell on him Saturday afternoon as he battled a major brush fire along the New York-New Jersey border, according to reports from the Eastern Dutchess County Fire and Rescue and the New York State Forestry Services. "R.I.P., brother, your shift is over. Well done," the New York State Forestry Services Post said. New York State Police said they were investigating the death amid the fire in Sterling Forest, located in Greenwood Lake, and identified the victim as Dariel Vasquez, an 18-year-old State Parks and Recreation aide employed by the New York State Parks, Recreation, and Historic Preservation Department. "Wildland firefighting is a very dangerous profession, and we try to take as many precautions as we can to mitigate some of the hazards that are out there in the wildland fire environment. But occasionally accidents do happen," said Jeremy Oldroyd, forest ranger in the New York State Department of Environmental Protection, adding that Vasquez died assisting with fire line construction. The fires in New York and New Jersey come as firefighters are also battling a wildfire in California. The New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection's Forest Fire Service reported that the sprawling blaze had spread to 3.9 square miles near the border in Passaic County's West Milford and Orange County. New York officials said Sunday the blaze, dubbed the Jennings Creek Wildfire, was now threatening 14 Greenwood Lake structures, as well as two New Jersey homes and eight historic buildings in all that state's Long Pond Ironworks. Officials said Saturday afternoon they did not believe evacuations would be necessary in either state. Health advisories were issued for parts of New York, including New York City and northeastern New Jersey, due to unhealthy air quality due to smoke from the fires. People were urged to limit strenuous outdoor physical activity if possible. Those especially sensitive included the very young and very old and people with ailments such as asthma and heart disease. New Jersey officials, meanwhile, reported 75% containment of a 175-acre fire in the Pompton Lakes area of Passaic County that was threatening 55 homes, although no evacuations had been ordered. Progress was also reported on fires in the Bethany Run area on the border of Burlington and Camden counties in Evesham and Voorhees Townships. A blaze along the Palisades Interstate Park in Englewood Cliffs in Bergen County, and the Pheasant Run wildfire in the Glassboro Wildlife Protection Area of Gloucester City. In Mexico, gunmen opened fire in bar, killing 10 and injuring 13. Gunmen opened fire in a bar in central Mexico, killing 10 people and injuring 13, local authorities said Sunday. The attack took place Saturday in the historic city center of Querétaro, in a region that had long been spared the violence seen in neighboring states. In recent years, however, the state of Querétaro has been marked by a handful of violent incidents raising concern by authorities. Juan Luis Ferrusca Ortiz, the city's head of public security, confirmed the attack and the number of victims. He said at least one person was arrested following the attack. Ferrusca Ortiz said officials identified those responsible by tracking the license plates on the car the armed men fled in, which was later abandoned and set on fire. Two videos from the bar's security cameras show a group of four walking into the bar and shooting indiscriminately at people eating at several tables. This is Scout Madison signing off. That was part one of the News Gazette from November 11th. And you can join me again for part two if you like. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.